In 2023, the Big 12 will expand to 14 teams as of right now for a year or two. Where does Baylor sit in that group, and can they sustain being at the top of the conference? This is Locked On Baylor.
You are Locked On Baylor, your daily podcast on the Baylor Bears, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey everybody, Drake Toll here with Sikkim 365 alongside Peter Pope of Our Daily Bears and Our Daily Podcast, the best single marketing tool in America, Our Daily Podcast. Peter also striking resemblance apparently to Joe Rogan. If you've seen Peter trending on Twitter alongside Joe Rogan, there is a specific reason why, and we both want to thank you for making Locked On Baylor your first listen every day. Peter, A, thanks for coming on. B, Baylor plays football.
Yes, they do. And thanks for having me on. But why you got to do that to me, linking me to Joe Rogan like
Dude,
that?
Dude, I had no idea that it would just catch fire and somehow make its way to the national media.
I mean, Max Garner's always going to take a shot at me, and that's fine. And I think he loves to take digs at you, too. So it works out.
Max is one of my favorites in the Baylor Twitter sphere. And you know what else is one of my favorite things? That is football. My least favorite thing right now, Peter, is moving. So all the folks at home are seeing my room is still empty now as I'm moving out.
Yeah.
But on the flip side of that coin is football. And
yes,
when the Big 12 inevitably expands to 14 teams for a year or two, it looks like Texas and OU still want to hang on the coattails, the Big 12, and not pay their way out. In that case, you're looking at a conference that still has the 10, and then you add in UCF, Cincinnati, BYU, and Houston. And
right.
To me, Peter, you've got a defending national champion in UCF and a playoff team in Cincinnati adding to the conference. Does that kind of put Baylor in a weird or a tough or a better spot looking forward to the next couple seasons?
I mean, I think that Baylor is in a phenomenal spot in terms of the new look Big 12, where they sit right now. You look at their performance over the past decade, and they've been able to rise to the occasion when they've had consistency and stability in the program. It's when we decide to destroy ourselves or blow ourselves up multiple times in the course of 5 or 6 years that things have been difficult and we've had struggles. But they've been able to consistently rebuild off of that. And so I think Baylor is in a phenomenal spot for the new look Big 12, even with Oklahoma and Texas still in it, in the conversation, still in the conference for the next year or two, depending on whether or not they can get their acts together and Oklahoma can summon the money to actually, you know, pay off the buyout, because I'm pretty sure Texas would leave tomorrow if they could. They're ready to get out of here.
It's intriguing to me, too. I'm glad you mentioned Texas and OU, because those are the two teams you point to as the moneymakers of the conference, right? The brands of the conference that everybody is talking about. Okay, when they leave and go to the SEC, it kind of tanks the Big 12 from a brand standpoint, which I would disagree with, but still, with those two teams still being in the league and you add in your four new ones, it almost feels like that. You know, you ever had a family reunion and then it's at your house, which is the worst place to have a family reunion. And then there's that one weird uncle that you really don't like. And he just always seems to be the last one to leave. And he's there for the extra half hour. Texas and Oklahoma combined are both of those weird uncles that are still at the family reunion.
You're just trying to get them out the door and they won't leave. And they're just sitting there on the couch, drinking your beverages, eating your food. And like, it's like, guys, get out, go. We're ready for you to leave already. That's Texas and Oklahoma for sure. Although we will, in this instance, it's them having to pay us money to leave. So it's like, give me $50 and then you can leave my house, you know, something like that, I guess.
So it's more like a baby shower then, or a wedding shower. So it's leave the gift at the door. Please get out of my house. And
yes.
More or less, it seems like, oh, Peter, this is not even part of the conversation, but I want your take on this because I think this is so intriguing that somehow or another, everyone in the Big 12 collectively has looped Texas in as the bad guy. Not a bad thing, by the way, as it should be.
No.
And Oklahoma, on the other hand, they're like, oh, yeah, see you guys. Thanks for playing along.
The whole time from the announcement that they were leaving back in July, June, whenever it was that dropped last year, through the formal invitation process with the SEC, the way that Oklahoma positioned and sort of their messaging around it was they're completely content to allow Texas to be the bad guys, because Texas can't get out of their own way in that regard. Like, you hear reports of them, like, you know, the Texas admins high-fiving and celebrating in conference rooms, you know, in Austin, and OU issues a statement like that's basically, we're really sorry, we would have taken you if we could have, but we can't, so we're just gonna go, and we're really sorry about that. And you know, it was like, you know, back-to-back announcements. You hear about the high-fiving, and then you hear the, like, the contrite, like, poor Oklahoma message. It's brilliant, because they allow Texas just to be the bad guys, and Texas is perfectly happy to take that role, whether deliberate or just because they can't get out of their own way. That I will leave to the listener to decide.
Yeah, they certainly play the bad guy role really, really well. But they're, you know, the bad guy never wins. And it seems like Texas is kind of in that. That's why they play the bad guy role so well. And when you loop in the fact that those two teams are still in the Big 12, and you add in four new ones, which are solid programs, you know, UCF under Gus Malzahn, who has a national title as an OC, went to one as a head coach. You have a team in Cincinnati that was just in the playoff with Luke Fickell. BYU is a, I don't want to say perennial powerhouse, but they're there. It feels like every year, every other year. And then Houston just down the road, Dana Holgorsen is like the ultimate Baylor killer. If anyone can beat Baylor, when it doesn't make sense why, it's him. And now it feels like, to me, everything's going to shake up, right? From a recruiting standpoint, from a ranking standpoint, power rankings. From a program standpoint, though, Peter, where do you put Baylor in that 14 teams?
In the 14 teams, that's a good question. Where Baylor is right now, and if you're looking at, basically that's next year, or next season, not 2022, but the following season after that, I think Baylor is in an excellent position. You have Oklahoma, who, they have phenomenal talent, but they're talking about a complete culture shift from being a very offensive-minded team to shifting to learning how to be a defensive-focused team first. Their new head coach hire that
Brent Venables,
thank you, Venables. Like, this happens to me. I'm like thinking of a name. I've got it in my head, and then I go to speak it, and it won't come out.
It's gone.
Venables. I mean, it's a culture shift, and Baylor knows that that is a significant thing. It's not necessarily a plug and play way to that you can just immediately shift over, and because you had decent defenses before, you can immediately pick up where you left off. You look at the way it happened with Rule. We had to break that defense down to its base units and build back up from scratch, and it took, I mean, they warned us it was going to take 3 years, and that's what it took, and Aranda was able to capitalize on that and use that to sort of propel the defense to the next level and develop guys in ways that we hadn't seen. So I don't think that we're necessarily going to see the benefit of Venables at OU immediately. I mean, I could be wrong about that, because, I mean, they're pulling phenomenal recruits, and maybe those guys will be able to make that adjustment quicker, but I just don't see that. So I think Baylor is firmly in the upper echelon of the 14-team Big 12 for 2023-2024. Maybe even the top quarter. It remains to be seen how they develop over the next couple of years, and how the recruiting goes with NIL and everything else that's going on. But I really like their chances to remain a major player in the new look Big 12, or even the temporary look Big 12 of 2023 and 2024.
I love that you mention Oklahoma changing scheme and really changing from the offensive identity to a defensive. And to me, it feels like Baylor was able to do that so successfully under Matt Rule in 3 years, and now under Dave Aranda in 2 years, moving even more toward the defense, in that the spotlight wasn't on them. You know, it feels like when a spotlight is directly on a program, a la Oklahoma, things take a lot longer to change, because you've just been known as this identity as a program for so long. It is ingrained in your program's culture for the last decade, and now that's changing. So Speaking of changing, recruiting is changing in the Big 12 as you add these new teams in. And people's diets are changing. You want to know why? I'm going to tell you why.
Why is that?
Peter's not going away. Fret not, folks. Peter is right there. He's just taking a short nap while I tell you about Built Bar and their birthday cake puffs. Whether it's your birthday or not, birthday cake. It's my favorite flavor of Froyo, actually, is birthday cake. It's something I recently got onto, and now, instead of just Froyoing, I can Built Bar puffs it. 150 calories, 16 grams of protein in every Built Bar puff, 9 grams of sugar, only 9 grams of sugar. Your candy bar, any candy bar, usually has like 30, 40 grams of sugar, 250 calories, exponentially worse for you. Built Bar with 16 grams of protein, like you big gym guy, not a big gym guy, a big whatever your name is guy, eat Built Bar Puffs to build your summer body and get ready while also not sacrificing and just eating kale all of the time. Built Bar is like kale, but in a birthday cake puff. Not sure if that's how they want me to market it, but it's how I'm marketing it today. Use code LOCKED15 for 15% off your order. LOCKED15 at Built.com. Go to Built.com, promo code LOCKED15 right now. Visit Built Bar at Built.com. Peter, hope the nap was good.
That was fantastic. Thank you.
I, from a recruiting standpoint, that's the one thing I look at with this 14-team league moving then to a 12-team league. With Texas and Oklahoma leaving, does those brands going away hurt recruiting in the Big 12 exponentially? Will we see that effect from a recruiting standpoint in the next 5 years?
I don't think so. I don't think that recruiting for Baylor is significantly impacted by the departure of Oklahoma and Texas to the SEC. You look at what happened with Texas A&M's recruiting after their departure and the number of 4 and 5 stars that they were able to pull down, not considering this most recent class, because that's just a completely different situation. But you look at what they were able to do from 2011 through 2020, and they had a significant rise in recruiting success because of their entrance into the SEC. I don't think you're going to see that same sort of thing with Texas and OU because they're already up at the upper echelons of recruiting anyway. Yeah. And so they're not going to benefit significantly from that transition, I don't think. And the guys that they would be pulling aren't the guys that Baylor and the other Big 12 schools are going after anyway. And so I don't know that you're going to have that problem. Also, I don't think that Baylor is hurt significantly by it, or even the Big 12, because as long as they can retain their AQ status for the playoff, as one of the automatic bid schools for New Year's Six Bowls and for the playoff, then I think that I think that kids are going to want to come and play at Big 12 schools, and Baylor, it has a phenomenal shot to be position themselves as one of those top tier schools to be a dominant force in recruiting, which, I mean, if your goal is to go and win a national championship or to play in the playoff, why would you go be in the SEC where it's this tremendously stacked conference with all these different schools that are just absolutely dominating when you can go and have an equal shot with a school like Oklahoma State or a school like Baylor or BYU or one of these others? Like, I think that is a, I think that provides a tremendous opportunity. NIL is the monkey wrench the fly in that ointment that I don't know how that's going to shape out. I know we're in the Wild West right now. And they're looking at implementing regulations. I know there was stuff last week about the NCAA starting to enforce stuff. I don't know how that shakes out, really, because there's so much there, and there's so much sort of the genie's out of the bottle. How do you put that genie back in the bottle once it's already out? I don't know that they can. It'll be really interesting to see how that shakes out. What are your thoughts? You seem a little bit less optimistic that it'll be an opportunity as opposed to it being a detriment for Baylor.
Was it the way I posed the question? Because that's absolutely true, right? It feels like you've got two of these top schools that are Oklahoma specifically, I think more so than Texas, in a success from a success standpoint, right? Playoff, the only team from the Big 12 that has made the playoff. And when you lose that, you're thinking, okay, where are the rest of your playoff contenders in the Big 12? Not saying contenders aren't there, but there's not a team that has that moniker of, okay, I've been to the college football playoff. You lose that with Oklahoma. Right. Now, you also have a recruiting empire in Texas. It is the flagship school of the state of Texas. They recruit five stars like they change underwear, and they don't win with them, right? They don't win with them, but they still have that brand and that recruiting hold on Texas. And that, to me, you take the one playoff team and the one team with the recruiting hold on the best state when it comes to high school football, and they go. I do think it hurts the overall brand of the Big 12. Does it hurt Baylor? No. And the reason why is because Baylor's not recruiting those five stars. They look, they don't give a crap how many stars you have. Dave Aranda's right. like he's not the first thing he's looking at. He's like, oh, I wonder what Rivals has him at. No, he doesn't care. and that's why Baylor's going to be successful, I think, either way. But the last question I'll kind of throw to you on that point, when it comes to that brand of Texas, the recruiting brand of Texas, you now trade that for Houston, which not remotely in the same realm from a recruiting standpoint. I almost think that could hurt recruiting more than anything. What is your take on Houston being that Texas team they brought in?
Yeah, I was surprised that everybody was okay with Houston being the fourth addition to the Big 12. I personally was not a huge fan of that, just because my thought always was that's raising another Texas school, another regional rival to a peer status in terms of recruiting, right? Like they have been able to get their kids, but the way that they've tried to do it is by building a wall around the city of Houston and trying to make Houston their own. And they're going to still do that. It's not my favorite thing. And I think you're right that in terms of like brand value, Texas and OU, I mean, you can't replace those guys. You can't bring in other schools that will replace those from a brand value standpoint, especially Oklahoma. Texas has the name. And of course, you've got all the way too early stuff coming out right now. Already, and everybody's got Texas back up in there without any reason. It's like, okay, Quinn Ewers, he's their quarterback. But like you were saying on our daily podcast last week, they have to be able to block him. And so I don't know that that's going to happen. I'm not buying what the hype around Texas as usual, but those brands are hard to replace.
Yeah.
But I think what the Big 12 is looking at doing is instead of saying, okay, we're going to bring in replacement value at that level, we're going to do the Moneyball sort of situation where you replace with component parts that when you put them all together produce a better package and a more competitive package overall. And so you don't have Oklahoma who's going to dominate the Big 12 title for 15 years or whatever it's been, where they've just been at the top of the sport. And I think that can be sold as a good thing, and recruiting is one aspect. And Houston they punch above their weight, you know?
Yeah.
I'm really interested to see what all four of these schools do in a Power Five conference where, you know, I know BYU, after we played them last year, they were like, we have a lot of work to do before we get into this conference. And the game against Baylor really showed us that. And so I'm really interested to see what Cincinnati, UCF, Houston and BYU all do to sort of raise their game as they're headed into the Big 12.
Interestingly, Peter,
it's kind of a rambling. Yeah.
Well, look, that again, you SEO, you hit it right, the nail on the head right there. That was just, hey, look, those teams are there. And they also play basketball, believe it or not.
Yes.
Because I feel like most people have overlooked that fact. And so I want to hit, you know, kind of how it changes just for a couple minutes, the landscape of Big 12 basketball. But first, you know, folks, Peter mentioned compact parts right there. And speaking of compact parts, rockauto.com is a sponsor of today's show. ever-increasing number of makes and models, right? It's impossible to find what you need for cheap. You go to the local auto parts store and you say, hey, I have a Nissan Maxima, like I do. And they're like, okay, what kind? You're like, I don't know, the car kind. They're like, no. Is it a Superb or an XL or a BMT? And you're like, ah, dude, I have no idea. And they make you feel bad for it when they could just like scan a thing and look. A moot point. Go to rockauto.com. You don't have to deal with the hassle and be haggled by these random people at your local store that just want to make money off of you. Rockauto.com. You can get stuff at 50, even 100% off right now. There's like a Honda Odyssey fuel pump, $353 at the chain store, $216 at rockauto.com. They've been doing it for 20 years, family owned and operated. Go to rockauto.com right now. See what's available for your car, truck, right? Locked On in the How Did You Hear About Us? So they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com. Peter, speaking of
yes.
Rock Auto, pass the rock to you to talk some hoops. Hey, look, you can tell I've been listening to Fank a lot. I am picking up some Fankisms, and it's not good. But, man, last couple minutes here, it is the realm of Big 12 football is going to change, but Big 12 basketball, too. This conference just got electric.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm really excited for what they're bringing in. Houston is, as much as I dislike the addition of Houston overall for the Big 12, I love what they're doing in basketball. They finished number 2 overall in KenPom last year. We boat raced them in the Final Four in 2021, and that was great. I would love for that to continue, but I think I'm really interested to see what these teams bring to the Big 12 on the basketball side of things, because you have BYU they're solid. They're not phenomenal, but I mean, it seems like anytime you hear a conference team giving Gonzaga a run for their money, it's BYU that's doing it. I know their conference championship game 2 years ago was pretty tight. I mean, last year they played them pretty well, I feel like, at least in one of the games. They're a solid team. Cincinnati is historically so. Kelvin Sampson is just doing great things with Houston. Yeah. And then you have UCF, which is a little bit less exciting, but it's going to be really good for the Big 12 overall in basketball. And it's going to make us, I think, it's just going to solidify the conference as the best conference in college basketball. It already has been for the past couple of years, I think. And last year it was definitively so. But going forward, it's just going to even further cement that status as the top tier of college basketball, because there are just so many good programs. You've got Kansas they may suffer depending on what happens with the NCAA, but you've got Baylor, who's poised to make another deep run at things. And their recruiting has taken off even more, and Drew's taking advantage of transfers and all of that. Like, it's phenomenal. Texas Tech is still looking really strong, and looks like maybe Chris Beard wasn't the architect of Texas Tech's success. So, which I'm okay with that. I am okay with that. So, it's really interesting. I'm excited to see where we go from here. What about you? What's the things that you're most intrigued in seeing in the new look Big 12 from basketball perspective?
Peter, I love you said they may, like Kansas, they may, you know, take a dip with these allegations. It should be may they take a dip with these allegations.
Well, that, yeah.
And
I will not shed a tear.
I don't know if that's exactly going to happen, because, you know, inevitably it just won't. That's how these things go, it feels like. But yeah. One of the things I'm really excited about is you're losing two teams that just didn't really do that much for you. Granted, Lon Kruger went to a Final Four with OU about, I don't know, that's probably 6 years ago. And Texas had their up and down years with Shaka Smart, mostly down years. They haven't been that good since Rick Barnes was there either. So In basketball, you're switching teams out that were middle of the pack, lower side of the pack most of the years in the conference, for teams that are national championship caliber programs. You know, Cincinnati, you mentioned that was perennial Sweet 16 under Mick Cronin. You got a UCF squad that had Taco Fall a few years back, gave Duke a run for their money. BYU's you know, always in the top 30, 35 of these schools. And obviously Houston now is a one or two seed, it feels like, almost every year under Kelvin Sampson. So you add those schools in, and I think your conference gets exponentially, but you just made the best conference in college basketball right now into almost a college basketball mega conference. We don't speak in those terms when it comes to other sports outside of football. We don't say the word mega conference, but looking from a basketball standpoint, that's kind of what you're creating in adding those teams to the Big 12 and retaining national champion Kansas, national champion Baylor, national runner-up Texas Tech, who, again, Chris Beard was not the architect of. So I think, to me, it puts the conference in a really good spot on the hardwood, which I think a lot of folks are overlooking right now and only looking at football, which we tend to do in Texas. But yeah, I'm excited for it. And Peter, excited to open up the platform for everyone out there that thought, wow, this guy, Joe Rogan-esque as he may be from a look standpoint, is great at talking about Baylor Bears. Where can they find your stuff?
I am on Twitter at PB Pope, and the podcast is at Our Daily Podcast. And then you can head on over to ourdailybears.com to get that, or you can head to any of your major podcast platforms to download the show. We'd love to reach new listeners for sure.
Peter,
and I'm glad to be able to come on your show and help, because, you know, we're Our Daily Podcast, but you're the only one that actually does a daily show. So props, props for that.
Props to you too for beating out Fank. He is the only one, I think, now that I have not had on yet, and I am solely to spite him. And so I have across the like from Max Garner, almost everybody now I've cleared out except for Fank. So you made it.
All right, I appreciate it.
Thanks again, Peter. Always a pleasure, and look forward to talking again soon.
Yep. Thanks very much.
And for you out there listening, thank you for making Locked On Baylor your first listen every single day. Make Locked On Big 12 your second listen. It is elite, Josh Neighbors, all your Big 12 stuff in a half hour or less. And come back tomorrow. Big Game Boomer. Joins the show tomorrow. Big Game Boomer is on Locked On Baylor tomorrow. Get all your grievances out. I know half of you probably hate that guy, but there is a real person behind that account, and you're going to meet him. This has been, always will be, come back tomorrow, Big Game Boomer, Locked On Baylor.